Welcome to Light Warrior Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Gann, author of the number one best-selling book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower, How to Harness Your Gifts, Fulfill Your Purpose, and Create a Life of Joy. And I would love to give you my free gift, the Sensitive Soul Empowerment Guide, three ways of navigating your way to more peace, positivity, and personal power. And you can get that at sensitivesoulguide.com. That's completely free, sensitivesoulguide.com. And there, after you get your download, you'll actually be invited to come to my Light Medicine community. Yes, we have a new community, relatively new anyway, on Circle. It's a beautiful app, and it's sort of like Facebook without all the censorship. And we have a lot of fun there. We can now even live stream in there. We have free events. We have a monthly mini healing. So if you are a sensitive soul and you're looking for a place to come home to, we are here for you at the Light Medicine community. So it all begins by getting my free gift, sensitivesoulguide.com. Now today I have the beautiful opportunity to interview Elena Chapman, and we are going to be talking about your soul and kind of like living from that place. You know, living from your soul and what, you know, infinite possibilities and bliss and how to do that. Because a lot of people are kind of living day to day, just like, what do I got to do today? Like, how do I survive, right? But what is it like to actually live from your soul? Like, is that even possible? So what if we didn't have to necessarily live from the moment to moment to moment negative emotions and reactions that, you know, many of us are familiar with. We grew up around it. We are conditioned by the others that did that as well. So we're going to explore these questions today on Light Warrior Radio with Elena Chapman. She's a two-time international best-selling author and spiritual teacher and speaker, and she is all about soul wisdom and your growth. She's known for her joyful nature, vivacious personality, and she worked her magic by meaningfully integrating the wisdom of age-old mystical spiritual modalities with scientific research. Folks that know me know I love that. To bring clarity, ease, flow, and positive lasting growth to those seeking to better understand their place in a world that often seems out of touch and definitely overwhelming. So without further ado, welcome, Elena. Great to have you here.
Hello, Dr. Karen. It's so wonderful to be here. I'm so happy.
Yay. We had a little glitch the other month, some technical glitches, and we didn't have that show go on live, but we are here today, and so that's all that matters. And so, again, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And thank you for the wonderful introduction.
Oh, my pleasure. Tell us about your story.
Okay, so my story, number one, I was always an unconscious competent. And when I was very young, I was extremely spiritual. I mean, we're talking three on. And when I was seven, I was, you're going to love this, I played hooky from school. Imagine that. And I did it a lot. And I was, I was playing like I was sick, so I was in my room playing, of course, and then all of a sudden, an angel, or at that time I thought it was an angel, and said, you have the gift, and it is time for you to activate it. It is, you are going to help lost souls into the light.
Mm.
And I thought, okay, whatever, right? Well, then lost souls started to come to me. Those are souls that did not go to the light for whatever reason, usually fear that they're going to be judged.
Right.
But there are other reasons too. And they come to me. To this day, they come to me. Mm. But I was I kept my spirituality very quiet after that, because when I told my mom, she said, she took me to the priest because we were Catholic. Oh, is right. Because he said, that little girl has a very wild imagination that needs to be tamed. And that's where I knew I wanted to play more hooky from school.
Good for you. I would have been just so fearful. I would have just done whatever they said.
I was an interesting child. I was very brave in a lot of ways that probably shouldn't have been brave. I didn't let adults push me around. I don't know where I got that. And it caused a lot of problems, but I just didn't see the point. It wasn't like I was trying to be defiant. I just didn't think they knew as much as they said they did. It was really weird.
Oh my God, so you're acting like an indigo. That's what they're like. They're like bucking the system because they're like, doesn't make sense. So why should I do
it? Right. And that's really how I felt. And I had my mom very worried. Needless to say, our house was always haunted. But anyway, I went along with my life like this, and I just kind of did my own thing. And I had lots of friends, but not, you know, but I was never of it, or I wasn't in it. I was always of it, but I wasn't in it. And I loved everybody. And that's how I lived my life for a long time. And then when I was older, I got a degree in music, and I loved it, and I was enjoying it. Father was terribly worried, wanted me to get married to a person that he felt was right.
Oh,
that was not a good thing for me. I don't think that was the road I was supposed to take, except I have three beautiful boys. I would never change that. However, the restrictions in that marriage and what I was supposed to do and who I was supposed to be, and it was very much strict. They had, I was married for a reason. You don't even know that this is like, this sounds like 18th century, doesn't it?
And well, the rebel in you actually still said yes. So that's interesting.
No, not totally. I mean, my father really pushed it. And I was a daddy's girl in so many ways.
Oh.
And I felt that he was so sincere in saying, you really do need to marry, because, you know, it's time for children and you're getting older. I didn't marry until I was pretty, you know, it was getting to the time it was going to be harder to have children.
Hmm.
And so so I did get married, and I thought I could still do everything I wanted, but that was not the case. And it tossed me into a world which most people would think was glamorous and fun, to sit by the pool and I'll do all nothing and have everything taken care of. You know, it was really very boring, very catty, very restrictive.
Yes, most people were like, oh, can you beam me into that life, please?
Yeah, no, you don't want to be in that life.
Okay.
And very just rudimentary, very just, it was awful. And I found that I started trying, one day I was driving and I thought, oh my gosh, the magic's gone. Where's my life? Where's my life where I just manifested everything at a drop of a hat? Where's my life where I had animals that just came up to me? Where's my life where I just walked on a rainbow, basically? Where is it? And I then decided I had to get it back. And that did cause a very bad divorce.
Okay. Yep, been there, done that.
That little desire of mine. And the happier I got, the sadder he got.
Aww.
And it was a long, arduous, very hard divorce that very few people go through, unfortunately. But I think I was always meant to go through that, because I learned a very valuable lesson that I actually wrote my first book, You Can't Escape from a Prison If You Don't Know You're in One. And I wrote about illusion, and I learned that you can be tossed into an illusion that can have you have a nervous breakdown, that you, if you allow others to toss you into an illusion, because life is all illusion, if you get tossed into an illusion where someone makes it so that you cannot trust yourself, you can't trust your instincts, you can't trust your world, you can't trust your friends, you can't trust your neighbors, you can't trust the officials, you can't trust anybody, what do you do? And you become paranoid, or you can. And you can go crazy because stuff keeps happening and you have nowhere to turn. So what do? You figure out another way to change this illusion, or you end up having a nervous breakdown, which many women do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know I was really doing it at the time, but I decided I didn't want my kids to deal with this. And so I sat down one night and I just wrote down five things that I want them to remember about family.
Mm.
Things like they can always come home, that a family is always a support system, you know, all these wonderful things. And then I started to create it. And I made that my focus.
Okay.
And I did things with my kids, built a strong family, just the four of us, and the dogs, and the cats.
Right. So you wrote this after your divorce or during?
No, this was during. Okay. And then when things would pop up and some things were really awful, I would deal with them, but not in the same way. The fear was gone. Because that wasn't the world I was living in.
Right.
I was living in the world where my kids were, I was creating a world of safety for all of us. And I was building a world of future with all of us.
Mm.
Where were we going to live? What were we going to do? You know, we'd have fun looking for homes together. We would have fun looking for, I don't know, just everything, just doing things, getting out into nature, having pizza parties under blankets and chairs, having, you know, if they're putting things in their notebook saying, you are such an awesome kid, you're going to do well today, this kind of thing.
Mm.
And with that, I started to get out of the fear because I had to be able to do that. Do you see?
Yes.
And then,
so they were immersed in that energy that you were, you know, being. And then they could be out of fear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started finding new interests. I started journaling. That's how I wrote that first book. Mm-hmm. And I started just creating a life on top of all the stuff that was going on. And it worked. I never, ever was so fearful that I felt I was ever going to have a nervous breakdown. And I learned the power we have. We have incredible power. And in this world of illusion, we can create whatever we want, whatever kind of life we want to have. And we don't realize that. So many times we are so pre-programmed. And then my magic started coming back. I started with I always know about my gratitude. I'm always so grateful. And then I started to just do my meditation, get back into meditation, although I never did formal meditation. Now I was starting with formal. I thought that was funny. And then I thought meditation was funny. I thought it was funny we all just sat there in the black.
I know, me too.
Yep. But I learned to love it, and I love journeying. That was something new, and that's really what opened the door to my own soul, and that's what made me curious. I was getting my magic back. Cool things were happening. Magic of manifestation was coming really fast. Mm-hmm. And my clients say that happens too. It's something, I don't know. But but the thing is, I got very curious. I wanted to evolve more. I wanted to be my soul. I thought, why couldn't I? I can hear it once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But why can't I live from it?
Mm.
And that set me on the journey. I wrote Hello Soul because that's my journey of all the different teachers and shamans and people I met on my way who all had something to say that helped me grow into hearing the voice of my soul until it's just all my thoughts. And what it does, it weakens the ego or the critical mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ego has some good points, but the critical mind, what do people say nowadays? They have a new term for it. Toxins, the toxins of the mind, the things that we've been told, the dogmas we've learned, the things that things can't be true, that, you know, just the rules of society. You grow up, you get a job, and you get out there and work.
Yep, that's the conditioning, right? Subconscious is just absorbing this information.
Absorbing. Respect your elders even though they know nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
So these things, but there are more serious ones. There's little insipid ones. You know, I remember in the Catholic Church they were teaching that you honored the poor, but yet they praise the rich. That was a thing that really...
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yes, oh yes. Oh, meek are the poor. Meek are the poor. And we heard that constantly. And then I always noticed that they'd always, if somebody donated to the church, they were just highly honored. And I just thought, now, isn't that interesting? And so we were taught things that aren't true, and yet we hold on to them.
I just wanted to interject here, and just for everyone listening in, we're not criticizing or downing anybody's religion or anything like that. You know, we're just experiencing our personal perceptions and experiences of it. And I was very churchy and religious growing up, Elena, and until my first year of college, and then second year of college, university, my became my husband. He was very scientific. He left brain basist, and he says, "Do you know the atrocities the Catholic Church has done in history?" And I didn't know any history, really. I said, "I have no idea." And he told me, and I was so aghast at what I heard that I completely became an atheist. And then it wasn't until I got really sick and, you know, connected back with spirit in a completely different way. But then, you know, there were some real facts there that I couldn't deny. You know, in terms of, you know, the Vatican and the money and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And the wars and the control.
And the wars, crusades.
Mm-hmm. As a person, I was in music. I taught music in colleges for a long time, universities. But I do say, and being in music, I also was in almost every single religion. And as I was in the religion, it was not so much the belief system. I found God, of course, in the music, always in the music.
Yeah.
And in all the wonderful people I dealt with,
mm-hmm.
the guy in the choir who is always your thorn in the side, but it's only for fun, and you just enjoy it and tease him back. And, you know, or the bell choir that figures out you really don't know much about bells, but they're going to teach you.
Aw.
These wonderful people who were just beautiful, and that's where I found God.
Yeah.
And of course the music. So every church has beautiful people. It's just mm-hmm. that the dogmas are not always aligned to our best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can, you know, anybody who's in religion, they have a wonderful source to draw upon. You just have to pick and choose. Don't lose all your mind. Know that there are things that you can believe that help you, and understand that if you really don't feel it's right, it's not right. It doesn't mean you have to forsake the religion. It's like I told my boys, you can find God in your life. If you can find that source and you feel that connection, then that's for you. That's the mm-hmm. belief for you. So I went down. For me, did not work very well because I don't know why. I just didn't, I always believed more than what they wanted me to believe. But that's my choice. So finding my way back to my soul was living from my soul. I still can go into any church. Now I have priests that come to me and say, how do you have what?
That's
how
awesome.
Do you have that?
Well, that's fantastic to hear. I remember one of my parents' favorite priests over the years, they make him move on, right, so they can't get too attached to any community. But anyway, we loved him. I didn't know him really well, but I met him. He loved superheroes, and so we had things in common. And so I got to meet him and break bread with him and everything like that. And apparently before I came, my mom, being who she is, was very open in telling him that he's like, you know, My daughter, she heals demons. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you told him that, Mom, really? Right? And he turned to her and he says, good, we need more people like that.
See,
Catholic priests.
There are, it's so funny. And I do find in the Catholic religion, there are so many different areas, because that's what I grew up with, that are, you just, they're not all the same. It's really funny.
No.
And finding, I think it's so big that people have all found their own little sect of that religion. It's very interesting to me. And I say more power to them. If that's their pathway to God, that's where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important. I do feel it's important to feel a source, whatever that may be, even in the science, whatever that may be for you. And
Yeah, so how does, I mean, living from one's soul sounds really great on paper, but what does that actually mean? Like, what does that look like in a daily life? Does it mean you go to the grocery store and I'm like, well, I'm living from my soul and I'm going to grocery shop from my soul here? Like, what does it look like?
Oh, well, living from your soul is not, okay. So living from your soul means you still exist on this planet. We are a spirit within a body. Let's think of that. We are energy in a body.
Right.
If you want to say that, spirit and energy is the same thing. It's just a different name for the same exact thing. So the soul is not only something that is in you, it's also bigger than you. And it is connected to divinity. It is part of divinity. It's part of you and divinity. And it's and so when you start listening to the soul, and that is the biggest thing about living with the soul. Number one, it's gaining the strength to be who you truly are and never finding fault with it. And
I love that.
And allowing yourself to shine. And it's not from an ego place, though. It's not from a toxic place or a vanity place. It is from heart. And it is an opening of just knowing, number one, I can never fail. I will never fall.
I love that.
I also know that everything that happens in my life has a higher reason. And I never need to fear it. And to always, and I hear spirit. Now, does that mean that my soul is telling me how to make every move every day? No, because guess what, folks? We have freedom of choice. And when we are living from our soul, it's the soul's guidance in ways. I will actually tune in a lot of times. I will just say, are you here? And just see. And I will hear, I am here. I am here. And it centers me. Mm. And I know that when I have decisions, now that I have weakened that toxic mind, the toxic mind that says, oh, you can't really do that. You can't be connected to something like that. That's evil. Or something like, or you were always bossy. Stop that. Or whatever it may be. Whatever that fault that people saddled you with to get you under control, just don't listen to it. And instead, I just, the small voice of the soul has become my conscience. And does it take a lot of work? No, not really. What I do with people, I actually have a course that I do, and I've seen people go from zero to all the way up to where they're connected. And it's working through the chakras. When I wrote the book, Hello Soul, I was writing down all the lessons that I was learning, which is what I teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it then. I didn't see it before because everybody was a different teacher. But everyone that I met was teaching me how to work through my chakras. And when I got through my chakras, cleaning out the foundational chakras, opening up the heart chakra, and then opening up above. But you got to open up the heart first. And then and dispelling all the dogmas of the sacral. Because that's where we store all the
there.
Dogmas. Yeah. Getting rid of all those dogmas. But you don't do it by like, okay, I'm just going to get rid of them. You think it through. You kind of sit with them. The ones you want to keep, you can keep. The ones you don't think work for you, you get rid of.
Mm.
The ones that are holding you back, you get rid of. And it's all the way up. It's very, and there is forgiving, but somehow the way that I was taught how to do it is actually a lot easier. It's a lot easier. And most of the time, you're forgiving yourself more than anyone else. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's funny, no matter how bad someone hurts you, it always comes down to why did I put up with it? So, you know,
right.
It's always that angle. And so in working with the forgiveness, because that's guilt, that's shame, that will not help you. That will be a block. So you just have to, you work through it. And when you do that, then you are an open vessel for soul to speak to you and for you to speak to soul, which also is divinity. So it's a wonderful way. Now, when I go to pick out bananas, do I feel like I'm doing the soul thing? No, I want bananas. Okay. But if I'm healing or something and I'm guided to a certain herb, then I trust it because I was guided to it. And that's my soul showing me. And I am more, I am so in tune to what I feel versus what I think that I can act on what I feel and trust it.
Oh,
that's
neat.
What's living my soul. Understand? Now,
some people will say, well, that's intuition. So how is living from your soul?
Well, intuition. Okay, the soul has, the soul is a funny mix. We hear it, if you listen, Deepak Chopra had a quote about it, and Jesus or Yahshua, however, had a quote about it. And he always said, when the man is neither a man and a woman is neither a woman, that is when you're unified. And what he's talking about is the spirit itself. And in the soul, we have a masculine and a feminine side, which I didn't know until during my divorce. I went to a psychic who, because I wanted to know what in the heck was going on. This is when the divorce started. And she came upstairs and looked at me. And she goes, what did you do to yourself? And I looked at her like, what? She goes, you have your little girl so angry and crying, and you have the little boy stomping and walking away. What did you do?
Wow.
And
your inner children, not just inner child, right? Your inner children.
No, that's your side. And she was talking about the masculine and feminine part of my soul.
Mm.
And then Bob Proctor, believe it or not, taught me about the gift of the feminine and the masculine. Because I asked him one time. He was actually very spiritual. He didn't teach it very often. But I knew him as a friend, too. And
he said it
has imagination, intuition. This is the feminine. Inner knowing, nurturing, and actually the sexual. And the male side is the will. It's the strength. It's the strategic planning. It is bringing forth creation. That's why they work together. From inner knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And so intuition is one of our greatest gifts of our soul. Yes. And so, yes, you're using intuition and you're using imagination. You put them together.
Mm.
And that's what brings forth all your psychic gifts. That's what brings forth all your visions, which if you don't trust, you're really silly because it actually is. And that is what starts connecting you to your soul. And then all the other stuff is just getting rid of anything in the past that gives you non-clarity, like disbelief. You see?
Now, a lot of people are working on their egos. So they're working on healing their ego, getting rid of, I don't think that's a good idea, but anyway, getting rid of their egos, living from their higher self, and like how does ego play into all this?
So listen, what we concentrate on is what we get. So if we are concentrating on this ego thing, it's like being sick. If you're sick, you don't say, okay, I'm going to concentrate on being sick, and I'm going to get rid of this sickness. You say, I am healed. I am healed. And so if you're concentrating on the ego all the time, I never even thought about the ego until people started saying, well, what about the ego? So I talk about it, but I didn't think about it. I was all about discovering something bigger than myself.
Mm.
And I felt the soul was, and I knew instinctively, or intuition, that my soul was actually my connection to divinity. And I wanted to be open to that. I wanted to come from that. Now, I will warn you, if you come from that, you will find that you are not going to be that antagonistic person. You are not going to be the one who is always going to fight. You're going to have higher reasoning. You are going to be more, because when we fight, it always comes from an injured part in us.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're going to open up to higher understanding and compassion, like big time. And so even when you talk to your adversaries, you're going to find a ground that they never thought of. You're going to link the compassion with a higher perspective. And that, I think that's an advantage. I think in a world right now with so much, really, I see so much hate and anger and distrust. To have that, I think that's what we need more now than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take me long to do this. It's not like it took me years, by far. It kind of happened, just kind of, the teachers just came in and taught me. It just, you know, I focused, that's what I wanted. And
it sounds like you were really true to yourself, really primarily got back to being true to yourself like you were as a child, and releasing all those things that other people said you should do, and it seems a very natural process that you had to live from your soul.
I think it was in a lot of ways, but I think everyone can have that. It never has to be a labor. And especially the way I learned and I teach, I don't make it a hard labor, because gosh, who wants to do that?
Who wants to do that, right? Yeah, a little bit more ego, please.
Oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. I make things fun. I'm a Gemini. I do not want to.
Okay. Well, seeing how you helped your kids with all those games and fun things, that sounds great.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we had a good time. Yeah, no, a lot of things. My kids have a lot of stories to share with people.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
We did have fun. Yeah,
so I want to make sure, Elena, people know where to get a hold of you. We'll say this at the end as well. So ElenaChapman.com is the website. So ElenaChapman.com.
Yeah.
So ElenaChapman.com.
Spelled a little differently with that A-L. Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And oh, gosh, take a look around. I do have a wonderful little subscription where we talk about insights twice a month on Zoom, and that's called Chats with Elena. You know, people might like that. I think it's fairly inexpensive, too, so that's really fun.
Yeah, that's great. And so what do you do with people? Do you work one-on-one, group sessions, classes? Like, what is it that you
do
to help?
I love, I have one-on-ones. But I love teaching the classes, and I offer two classes. One of them is spiritual healing, because a lot of people need that, and that's, you know, not spiritual healing is healing the parts of our self, okay? Because everything that is what we have endured goes into our spirit, it goes into our aura, and it goes into our soul, and so with that, if you heal that, which is really not that difficult in so many ways, not the way I do it, then all of a sudden you're free, which is incredible.
Yeah.
But you're free. You're free of that heavy burden you've been carrying. And then I have a Living with Divine. That's the other course I teach. And then I do other things, like I do soul retrievals. My clients, I actually ask my clients, because I decided, I wanted to know why, because I have some that stay with me 5-6 years. I'm just amazed. They're usually one-on-ones. And they said, each one said, and I show them pathways that they didn't even know were pathways. They started to manifest right away. But here's the one that I found so interesting, because I didn't realize I did it so often. And they said, and she clears out the toxicity from my life. Now, they're talking from their life. And I did discover one of my psychic, I work on the psychic plane. I am a mystic, a channeler, a divination. I also do medium, of course, with all the lost souls that come to me. But I did learn that I can cast out those demons, those attachments, those things that are hurting you in your life. And then do the soul retrieval.
That's super helpful, because, you know, it's one thing to have someone who is an expert coach, you know, like yourself, and another to also have that person be really, you know, familiar with and does it for fun, and it's great for, you know what I mean, to work with, healing the demons and other energies, because not everybody is comfortable with that.
No, not everybody is. But I'll tell you, you know, some of these, you know, it doesn't even have to be a demon if some soul decides you're the bright light.
Right, right. Yes. Yes.
Why don't I want to be with her and I don't have to do the judgment thing, right?
Right. Jack, I remember that one time I said to my husband, I said, "You stink." And he smelled his underarm. He goes, "I do." And I smelled him. I said, "No, it's not you." And then I realized, "Oh, it's this drunk guy that's in the house right now at the kitchen table."
Yeah.
It was just like a long time ago. Like we have, you know, a clearing vortex around a house. So unless they need to talk to me, they just go. But but it was funny,
yeah.
You know, I was like, "Oh, it's a drunk guy here. He's like, smells like booze." And
but they can make you sick. I've had people say, you know, they'd be fine, and then they get this attachment, and they start having pain here or there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Having
Totally. Yeah. My other life, I'm an expert entity clearer, so it's not my main focus right now, but it's just, you know,
yeah.
One of
so
the things
know.
That we do.
Mm-hmm. So I do that, mm-hmm. too. And
that's cool.
Because you don't – listen, we want to get our own soul together. We don't need to do
right.
somebody else's.
Most of the time, yes. Usually there's some utility, but yeah.
They have their own journey. You're not their journey. So, yeah, I do help that too. But, yeah, so it's a little bit of everything with all the different things that I do. And that's, I guess that's why they have success. But
yeah,
I love people too. But like I said, it's a beautiful community on the chats, and that's a good way to start to get to know, you know. And I love people who are starting again. You know, people who have done something in their life and they want to do something new and they just don't know what they want. And they're all curious.
Mm-hmm,
and when
mm-hmm.
you're curious, then the sky's the limit.
Oh, yes. That's one of my favorite words.
I know.
I love
it's
that
true.
Word.
And that's when you open up to everything. And that's, mm-hmm. and you see the sacredness in every moment mm-hmm. and in every little thing you do. And that's fun. That's living instead of just existing, you know. So,
yes.
Yeah, I love
yes.
what I do.
I love it. Okay, so ElenaChapman.com. I'll spell that out for everyone again. ElenaChapman.com. Check out Elena's offerings on the website. She also has a YouTube channel, Elena Chapman YouTube channel. One of the questions, Elena, that comes up as far as soul, I just thought of it, is there's one camp, well, I shouldn't say one or two camps, but I'll just call it that for now. So there's one camp that says, your soul is pristine, it's always perfect, it's always this beautiful divine blueprint of perfection. And then there's another camp, and this is what I've experienced personally in my healing, you know, journey, if you will, is that the soul can be fragmented, potentially, hence the soul retrieval. We do it a different way than the shamans do, but that there are parts of the soul that can be fragmented, sometimes attached to other people and lost. So which is it? Is it the soul is pristine and never, you know, it can never be damaged?
Yeah.
Or is it the, oh, yes, it can be fragmented? And are we talking about two different things here?
No. Oh, it's really funny. It brings me back to a quote, which I have to say I contemplate a lot. And it's from Meister Eckhart. And he was 11th, 12th century mystic. And he always said that, okay, let me get this right here. That the soul can become God, but God cannot become the soul. Now, I think of that. As I am eating my yogurt in the morning, I'm thinking about this. I find this a very interesting quote, and I have been thinking for like 2 weeks now. I'm just trying to think, what is he talking about? What does he mean on a deeper level? Then how do I associate it with all my experiences? Do I agree with him? That is where I'm at. Do I agree with him or not? Mm. And there's that little girl who doesn't think everybody knows everything. But here's the thing. I think I understand. And it is, the soul is not pristine. That's why it is our part. And this is what was explained to me as a kid, too, by the angel. Our soul is the part that goes on a journey. Yes, the soul is part of Source, God, whatever you want to call that energy, that life energy. And so it is part of that. It is connected to that. But it's also like it can become part of that, but that does not become our journey. Here is what I was told as when the angel came to tell me that I was doing this for souls. The reason why it's so important that we go through our whole journey and we make the mistakes that we're making and we gain that so-called karma, good or bad, is it elevates the whole life force.
Mm-hmm.
Our journey actually elevates the whole life of God in everything. It's so important. And so in that way, we are part of God. I'll use that as the term. You can put whatever you want in there. But the soul itself is also something that is our own. And it does go through many lives. I'm not saying everybody has to believe that. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. I do believe I've lived many, many times. And I was just driving down in Tennessee and Georgia, and I'm on these roads, and I'm just traveling. Now, I've never been there before in my life, especially Georgia, that southern part of Georgia country. And I just felt this weird feeling, like, oh, my gosh, I'm home. And why would I be home? I know nothing about Georgia, right? Yeah, well, it turns out I've lived there. Isn't that cool? So this is how you know these things. It feels like you've been there before, that deja vu feeling. Isn't so deja vu, it's actually there.
Right. Well, and other people have reported they come to a place they've never been to, like you, right? And a friend of mine, I won't say who because he's pretty famous, had gone to a place in Hong Kong and for the first time in this lifetime. But he knew if we went to the top of this mountain, he knew what the house looked like. He knew it was inside the house. So he actually asked, can I go inside the house? And it was exactly how he remembered. And so he's like, I must have had another life here.
See? And so with that, with the different lives we live, our lives are connected by themes. Our lives are, you know, it's not just aimless, weird, you know, I live now and then I'm born again and it's totally different. There are times in our lives, like there, sometimes, like this life for me was a complete cleansing of a life that I had in like the 1800s. And so you find that your lives are a journey to evolve the soul.
Yes,
and that's really
how I see it.
Out. Yeah, it
right.
really is.
Yep.
And then with every time you come, which I love coming down, I know a lot of people say, I'll never come down again. Well, I probably will. And when I do, you know, the thing is, you evolve all of source because you are part of it.
Yep, that's exactly the messages that I got as well, personally, I should say, and it just it made so much sense to me. You know, I like to tell people that we are like facets of an ending diamond. You know, this beautiful diamond, and each of us is a facet of the diamond. We're connected to all, right? But we can't really see all perspectives at the same time, and yet, or some people say their metaphor is a drop in the ocean.
That's you know, when my brother died in 2021, and he was horrible. He just kept banging my drum. He just was horrible. And I finally wanted him, I got him ready to finally go to the light, and I was asking for the light to be open. And I said, somebody has to meet him because he's
terrible. Please.
Archangel Michael said, no, you're the one he trusts. You need to take him.
Mm.
And I said, I was scared to tell you the truth, really, if you want to know this, because I thought, oh, God, I'm going to get there. I'm not going to want to come back. And Joan, my guide, said, I will hold the cord, but you need to take him because he's not going to go with anyone else. So I walked him, and I'll tell you, I felt the light before because I asked one time, so that's magnificent. The feeling you get is, it is It's like every single muscle in your body, everything is just loose. There's no strain. There is no strife. There is nothing. And you feel this incredible freedom.
Mm.
And you feel so much love.
Yes.
So much love. And it's this wonderful, light, beautiful love. Anyway, so I was walking him. But when I got to the destination, all I saw was incredible whiteness. And this is everyone's higher consciousness. You've got to understand that. So it's what your consciousness will allow you to see, too. And I saw this white, like a big, giant white cloud. And then as soon as we stepped forward, that it broke apart into millions and millions of pieces. And they were all souls. And they were all coming to welcome him in.
Ooh.
And it was really beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But I understood the life force, and I also understood the division and how each one is its own being. I found that really interesting. And then the cord was tugged, and I had to go back. But I thought that was a phenomenal. So, yeah, the drop in the ocean, but the drop also comes out of the ocean. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yes. I like to say fractals, you know, because we're all part of that one holographic being, you will. The one, we're this little tiny piece, but one, you know, like this is a butterfly effect, right? Like one person raises their consciousness or shifts in a way, it affects all of us.
All of us.
Yeah.
All
which is really
us
neat.
And all of life.
And actually, really your story reminds me of Anita Morjani's Dying to Be Me. Are you familiar with that book?
Yes.
I just met her last week at a conference. Beautiful, beautiful speaker and beautiful person. So that love that she talked about was very important.
It's everything. And that's why I say when you start living from your soul, of course you're going to have that. Because that is everything. It truly is. And it's a very interesting, it's a cool place to be. It affords you to actually see more. It affords you to understand other people more. You understand where they're coming from. You can feel their fear, and you just want to ease it.
Mm.
You don't want to attack, you want to ease it.
Right. And then I love that part where you talked about earlier over and over again about the fear, just it's gone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like it's just that underlying anxiety that so many people have
the
day in and day out.
Yeah,
they're afraid of dying. They're afraid of losing things.
Oh,
they're afraid of breaking up with their family. They're afraid of so many things. And unfortunately, there are other fractals of us, if I may, that are taking advantage of this fear. For their own personal gain in this particular instance. And if anything, it's really pushing us to evolve ourselves.
It is. And I think, you know, I think we're in a time in life where we're being faced with all that for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think right now is the time to just say, wait a minute, I'm bigger than this. I am a spirit and I am not a body.
Mm-hmm.
And I am bigger than this, and I am surrounded by love. And it's hard to say when you don't know, but that's when your curiosity should kick in so that you can start to discover. And I think we owe it to ourselves. To feel limited is a waste of a life. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to feel limited. We really aren't. We're here to conquer what trauma or what karma we had in our past lives. I think this is the time that we really are, it's time for us to get all that done with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great time of transformation and transmutation. We have so much
it really
help.
Is. It really is. And I think it's good for people to step up. And it doesn't have to be a trauma or a work. I don't like
right.
that. I never
right.
think anything Work.
I used to love homework, but that's because I'm weird. Now we call it home play. So there's play. There's play in there.
That's right. You put that play in there.
Yes,
that'll get
yes.
me.
I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan, but I would be the Hermione Granger.
Oh, Harry Potter.
Okay, yes. Well, I would be the Hermione Granger, kind of annoying to people at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
A beautiful soul, but they're just somebody that just loves mastery.
Yes.
And they love learning,
yeah.
right? She's like, what do you mean the exams are canceled?
I was not Hermione. I always was a good student, but I didn't find... I had my subjects I love, let's put it that way, but it wasn't everything.
Right. No. I didn't love everything. I was just good at everything.
Oh, that's cool. That's yeah. so cool. Yeah, no. Chemistry was not my deal. So, but everything else seemed all right. But, yeah, I'll have
we'll
fun.
Give
you. But
yeah,
it is a journey, but it's a fun journey. And I think we owe it to ourselves to live the very best life that we can.
Yes.
And we can't do that if we're burdened down. Especially with things, especially with that fear, especially with those limiting beliefs about ourselves and our ability to function in this world and what we can do. I think we owe it to ourselves to conquer these things, you know, and it's never too late. Never
That's
too
right.
late.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm always amazed and just inspired, you know, by all the people that I meet and see that, you know, they're various different ages, but so many of my tribe are in their, you know, 60s, 70s, and even some in their 80s, just working it and evolving,
yeah.
and they're in these classes and
yeah.
they're changing, and I'm like, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding, too.
Yeah.
I'm finding that the new, I mean, I don't know, the people in their 50s and 60s, and 40s too, late 40s, all that area, I'm seeing that they are far from, well, they were always doers. And now they don't do. But they're saying, wait a minute, I have some questions. This didn't jive for me here, and I don't understand this. And I want to really, I was just talking to someone this morning. She worked in corporate America. She was really, really good for all her life. Now all of a sudden, she's not. And she came to me, and she actually came to a workshop. And what she's saying is, don't I have to do something?
Right. Yep.
I said, you don't have to do anything. I said, this is the time for you to discover. I said, look at what Spirit's bringing into your life. You've got to open up to this. And from that, you'll get these little nudges of something fun to do. And before you know it, you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that putting the head to the, what do they call that?
Grindstone or something. Yeah.
Third one that means it's hard.
Nose to the grindstone. There we go.
And it's grind. That's it. Thank you. And I, it's more that it's just you want to do it.
Yes,
and
you're inspired. Inspired action. It's natural. It's easy. It doesn't feel like work at all.
It's not work at all. And that's when you know it's right. Mm. And that's when you know it's from your heart and your soul. And she said, you're so right. And she, you know, and they're looking. They want to
yes.
know.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's hard how they lived, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of times, and I could be completely wrong, but my perception in the past was always look to the young people, right? And they're like movers and shakers, and you know, breaking the ideas of the old, you know, the old paradigm. And what I'm seeing right now is not the young people necessarily, but it's these people
yeah.
that are in their 50s, 60s, and sometimes 70s. You know, that are really going, whoa, wait a second. We know how we grew up. We know what our values were or are. And whatever is going on right now is not okay by us. Just because it's normal.
They were protesting in the 60s, though.
That is true. Yeah, and some of the young people, because they so are in love with technology, it's an avenue for, may I say, brainwashing. I mean, there's good brainwashing and then not so good brainwashing. So where I'm talking about not so good brainwashing part, and they just think everything's great. You know, technology's great, and we should just adopt everything. You know, that's brand new and awesome, and AI, and let me get an implant, and you know, So, yeah, but the older folks are like, well, no, wait, slow down.
Yeah.
They're not so attached.
But they are young now. I'm watching because I have, well, my boys are 22, 23, and then 20, and then 18, just turning 18 next month. So, and my youngest is a computer nerd. I mean, but he's also an artist. And he really is a writer that I just can't believe his writing, his poetry. What that child sees just blows my mind. But the thing is, I find that the computer he loves, but he puts it in perspective. And he's also an activist.
Wow.
Very much so. And he sees that he had one of his friends who has is changing into a woman. And it was his best friend. And it has opened his eyes to, and all his whole group. They just feel that this whole masculine feminine thing has screwed things up for people. Well, in some ways, you know, not so much being it, but the definition of it and what it's supposed to be, like the woman's supposed to stay home and the man's supposed to do that kind of nonsense, that everyone is equal and they are their own spirit and their own being, and that they should be just happy to live and be who they are. And he's really on a bent about that. And it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter about anything. You are a being. You have a right. And that's what his whole class is about. So I see the little rebels in it, even though we think they're just on the computer. But,
yeah, well, and it's just fascinating, just, you know, the different things. And there, you know, there are other energies out there that want to take that pure intention and twisted around, unfortunately.
Well, we are in an interesting time of energy.
We really
are having a it's not so much I think there's just a lot of fear, and it's fear that was fed to them that they believe. Fear is always fed to you in some way, some form, and you always have the choice to either question it, which is what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe just because that person says they are who they are. Question it. And if it's going to put you in a fear base, because fear is the opposite of love.
Right.
And there's many spectrums. Where in the spectrum do you want to lie? We have people in total fear that they'll hurt others because of their fear, this non-existent fear. And that's usually what it is. And that's what we have to see. It is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's an illusion. And we have people who are on the side of the illusion, making it a fearful place because that's what they see.
Yeah.
You have to be the person who questions and says, is it really like that? Or can we all live in peace?
Right.
Can we give each other a chance? Can we grow this in a way, in this world, in a little bit different way, where we value everyone and we don't have to put people down? Can we actually let people be who they're supposed to be in this life to complete their soul mission?
Right, who they really are.
Who they really are.
I think that's a tough one for my dad. He's not very happy with me right now. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that happens.
It really is. It's really, and I'll tell you, once you start seeing other people's fear, you'll start seeing your own. And then you can just say, wait, I don't want this.
Right.
You know?
Not what I choose.
Yeah. I want to choose. And you guess what? You have that opportunity. You have freedom of choice.
I love it. I love it. I call myself a freedom champion.
Yeah.
Freedom advocate and freedom champion.
Dr. Karen, thank you so much for this. This was really fun talking to you.
Yeah, it was super fun, Elena. Thank you so much. Again, everyone listening in, it's ElenaChapman.com. Check out what Elena has to offer. Elena, thank you so much for being here today. Really appreciate you, the work that you do. We're just so grateful all these light warriors out there. Bless you.
Yeah. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah.
It is.
And all your wonderful folks out there. I'm so glad that they're listening, and I just hope they just continue to grow and connect and be happy. Just be happy.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. Lots of love, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.